we should, this would probably be a good time to tell people how we really met.
Yes, that is
in true. South Florida. And me and Coco had a band called Coffee and Cream. It was a lot like Salt and Pepper. And it was hip hop, you know. I think we have a couple of CDs.
You know, actually, I was speaking to a Rolling Stone journalist a couple of weeks ago. And he said something like, man, you guys really, really try and stay under the radar, don't you? And then I was like, I couldn't tell if it was like a, was it a question, a compliment, an insult? I don't know. It's really funny because you can read everywhere or see anywhere all the things we've done and relentlessly, like touring and then recording when we're not touring and then touring again and like all of that. And it's really funny to be told by Rolling Stone, man, you guys are so under the radar. And I'm like, what am I doing? Not in my shows. I don't know.
My revisionist history is that even though I'm the fourth bass player of the Etz, I'm really the first bass player of the Etz.
That's true.
I was really the first, but I'm the fourth as well.
This has been 7.5 years. It's not like you turn around and you go, oh, well, we were Coffee and Cream, now we'll be the Etz, and we'll make a record, and everybody will just come visit us, and next thing you know, we'll be playing Madison Square Garden. But all kidding aside, you know, I think it's important to point out, give 7 years, at what point in time, being that you, of course, according to this Rolling Stone reporter, have never made it, and you're still very much under the radar, which I really don't know how he wrote the article based on that. What moment in time did you wake up, or have you woke up, and said, ooh, wait a minute, we're making a living at this, and we're actually in a place we want to be? Was there a moment?
Was it Nashville?
Nashville.
Yeah, I think when we were traveling and then we ended up house sitting for a friend in Nashville, that's how we got there. And that's and the reason we stayed is because we're like, we can hang on. Like we were living together and we were doing all this stuff, but we could hold it together and still do what we were doing for a living. Because the whole point is, you know, we're just the thing about being under the radar is just all that is just we don't want to be told what to do. We refuse to be told what to do. There's a system in place. I don't know if you heard of it. It's called the world. And it's just, and the rules that apply that we're just not interested in. So,
most of the bands are not.
We're just not. And whether or not that's like works for other people or it's the wrong time or whatever, that doesn't really matter to us. Because, yeah, when we were in Nashville, we were there for about a month and we were staying and we were like, we can sustain. Because before that, we were homeless. We were just touring and crashing wherever. And so that was a really exciting thing. That's why we've stayed in Nashville. We made some friends. It's been really good. So yeah, and that's under the radar or not, I don't really care because, you know, we get by.
The fact of the matter is that even though you're under the radar, you've had real killer producers.
Oh, yeah.
And people you've kind of, you know, cooperated with and worked with and all those other fancy words. You know, you didn't decide, oh, we're going to be a DIY band. You knew that you wanted to have a sound. I'm telling you what you knew, but it's very obvious. You know, you bring in you know who in on day one. So it's not like you turned around and said, we want to be a garage band and we're just going to figure it out.
That was a totally conscious decision. At the time, you know, we didn't know. We didn't know anything. And we were like, all we knew were the records that we liked. And we just said, this is crazy as it is anyway. You know, I mean, all of us had operated that way. Ask our parents. We were like, as children, we were terrors. But it's like, we just knew that we wanted to make this record. And we're like, shoot for the stars then, man. Because, you know, I'm not asking anyone's permission. I'm not asking anybody to pay for it. I'm asking, what do we want? What would be the dream thing? And we're like, going to Toe Rag and recording with Liam. And so we said, great, let's see if we can do it. And then he said yes, he wanted to record the band. And so took out a credit card and we went and we did it. And that was something that was like,
that's so brave,
it was really brave and stupid, whatever you want to call it. And insane. But it's
really,
like,
he also didn't know that he was really choosy about the bands that he did.
Yeah, ignorance is bliss. I mean, that's how you can really.
It's like, hey, here's the demo.
Yeah.
Check
do,
it out.
Do you want to record us? Here's the demo. And then.
But that works.
But it did work at the time. And we go, so we said, I don't care what happens. There's no way to know what's going to happen. But we do know that we can make this record exactly the way we want to, with exactly who we want to go. And then that was just the first of many insane decisions, but that was, it got what we wanted, you know, it did what we wanted to do by our rules, and that was the most important thing.
And going back to the previous question, that was kind of another moment of like, oh, we can do this.
I mean, we were there, we got to London, and we were there, and we were just, Liam took us out to see the Greenhorns at the Dirty Water Club, and we were like, standing there looking at each other and watching the Greenhorns and talking to Liam and just looking at each other like, oh man, like it was just, that was a pretty amazing moment. I don't know what it meant, but it was amazing. You are expected, as everyone should be. I mean, if this is your job and this is what you love to do, you are expected to know exactly what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. If you've got ideas, you better know how you want to try them out, because, you know, it's not worth like wasting time and like finding, like, we, not that we don't find tones or we don't have these surprises, but it's like, you know, those opportunities arise when you're prepared. And that's like, I mean, we are super prepared, and that's why we record live or whatever. Is there something you'd like to?
There's something I'd like to. I mean, and this is different from the other two times recording with Liam. I think we had more time, so we went over the songs more. We were so prepared going in, but then we just changed everything.
We changed everything.
So because we were so prepared, we were able then to go into the studio and then just change stuff on the dime.
Comes with practice.
Yeah.
How do you kind of turn around and say, well, you know, we were on this label and it was kind of okay, but even though we're only on our way, according to Rolling Stone,
right,
we're going to take the next step and we're going to kind of embrace the idea of having total control, but we're also going to get all the tools behind us that, you know, what, you know, what's really happening. Because again, the people that are behind you, these are smart people. You've surrounded yourself by some real professionals.
Yes, it's I think that's the best way to go. My mama always said, she's like, have your friends and everyone you work with, have them be, you know, smarter than you. Like, that's, you know, you don't want to surround yourself with people who are dumb.
Dumb-dumbs.
You don't want anybody being a dumb-dumb. And the thing is with that, that was, I don't, there isn't luck, but there is, there are fortunes and serendipitous things that can happen. And at what was the darkest hour, you know, for us, where things just seemed so closed off and so limited and all of that negative stuff, we started, like, you know, we have a really positive outlook. You kind of have to, you know, if you want to do this all on your own or at all, really. But you just kind of were like, well, what can we do? You know, not like the scope of it, like, where can this get us? But what can we bring in? What can we bring in tighter? And how can we keep our control of us? Like, we don't want things pouring out and then, like, people doing whatever they want with your music or your image or anything of yours. You know, you want it tight. And, like, the way we have it set up now, it's also kind of like, it's a smart move anyway, as far as we can tell. Well, time will tell. But the nebulous nature of the record industry, not that we were ever a part of it to begin with, really, but
because we're under the radar
and we just love it that way.
Thank you.
That's right. So, yeah. You know, it's just like, whatever, it was also a way of kind of like protecting ourselves. Like, well, no one knows what's going to happen. No one knows what's going to stick. We didn't know what Spotify was, you know, a couple months ago, just like everybody else. Maybe they knew, I didn't know. You know, it's just like, in a world that it's like this, and it's changing, and it's like, I don't even know what's happening. I got to hold on to the things I do know that are happening, and I don't know how that's going to impact things. Well, then we get to a position right now, you know, where people will be like, I wonder where they're going to jump to, or maybe blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well, that just scares me to death. You know, if like some big label guy comes down with his cigar, has never been something that we have ever wanted. And now, even less, you know, someone came with that.
And now they're all over you, Sam.
They've always like been sniffing around, but I can just tell you right now, I'm like, you don't want this. You don't want this. I promise.
the record, the vinyl LP, has a different sequence in the CD, and we.
One's mine, one's Liam's.
Yeah, well, basically, one's ours, one's Liam's sequences, and the sequence for the vinyl works better for the vinyl. Sequence for the CD works better for the CD, and it was pretty painstaking the process of the sequencing this time.
It
took a while, as did the album in general.
Well, it was just Liam and I. He's an Aries. I'm a Taurus. You know.
I'm a Taurus.
Hey, what's May up?
12, there you go.
May 4. But yeah, I mean, we'll butt heads. We will. We always will. And like, we know when we're about to really make the other person angry, but we always step right up to that line. And that happened in the sequencing. And I said, look, let's do it your way for this, and we'll do it our way for this. Eh? And he's like, I don't care. I'll kill you all.
It works better. His works really well on the violin.
His works great.
Smooth.
He listens differently.
So I've invented this thing called a musical sandwich. And it's two of your songs is the bread, and songs by anybody else you want to play in between.